Welcome to Dollars and Cents, Creating Your Fulfilled Life with Nicole Romito from Private Vista. In this podcast, we draw from years of experience as well as guest specialists to help you create the life you imagine. Join us in this journey as we enlighten and empower you to align your lifestyle to help you achieve your goals with a clear picture of your future. Now, let's get to the show.
And welcome to the Dollars and Cents podcast with Nicole Romito. Nicole, good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you today, Bill?
I actually believe that. I like the way that sounded. You are doing good. That's great. I'm doing very, very well. We got a break from the massive heat wave that was stalking us and keeping us all inside.
I know, right? Although hopefully all our listeners were just binging all our released podcast episodes.
Stay inside. It's cool. Let's listen to Nicole. Get caught up, as a matter of fact.
Exactly.
So what's on the table today? Who are we talking to?
Yeah, so I'm very excited. In studio with me today is Justin Albertson. And what he and I are going to discuss is the conversations to have when you are thinking about how to put together a successful business transition plan for a family business. So I think it's going to be a really interesting and in-depth conversation.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, Justin, welcome in. Thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Before we start our conversation, I'm just going to give a brief bio so our listeners can learn a little bit about you. Sure. As I mentioned, listeners, I have Justin Albertson. He is the Vice President of Client Services at the Family Business Consulting Group. He focuses on assessing the needs of families to align with their firm's experience. He has over 20 years of experience in assessment, organizational effectiveness, leadership development, and executive coaching. He partners with families to assist them in finding ways to strengthen relationship and develop strategies that help them realize their vision and goals, both as a family and as a business. I love that last sentence because I'm sure I know as we've been talking, the family and the business just are so intertwined. It's almost kind of one big ball of string, right? So it's like you can't separate the two and talk about how are we going to transition the business without really recognizing, identifying, and discussing how it could impact the family relationships.
Right.
So I think with that, why don't we start off with, you know, I think it's having the conversation, right? So as you are working with, you know, you guys have a new client at the Family Business Consulting Group, and they are either like just thinking about, well, the transition's coming, or maybe they're ready to do it. What are some of the first kind of conversation topics or first things you like to discuss with them?
Sure. Typically, the family part is the part that is not as immediately thought of, which is what impact is this transition of the business going to have on the family? And you oftentimes are focused on the legal part of transitioning ownership of a business. You're thinking about who's going to be the new CEO, typically when, you know, dad retires type of thing.
Or mom.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, my listeners know.
For sure. Yeah. And there's a question there of what are all of our roles as family members, right? Because we don't stop being family. We're always going to be family.
But you hope so, right?
And yeah.
I would think that they probably have a higher likelihood of that happening if they are working with your group. So
Yeah. And I think where we come in to support the families is thinking through things like in this new version of the business in the future, you have new business partners. You either have a sibling team that is now having to learn how to be business partners together, or you have a cousin group. When you go from a second to third generation, or you have going third to fourth to fifth, it gets really big when you start dividing the shareholders like that, or the shares across the generations. And that just increases the number of people who are now in business together with each other as shareholders and owners. And everybody has their own expectations. And that's the part that we suggest that you have the conversation about. What is it that we all expect from each other as business partners, as managers within the business, as we run the business together? Or maybe we're just going to be an ownership group at this point. We've gotten to the point where we have it completely professionally managed.
Okay.
And we need to figure out, what does it mean for us just to be a group of owners in our relationship with our professional managers and a non-family CEO, for example? How is this all going to work? Right? It's one thing to divvy up the shares. It's a whole nother thing to determine now how do we function and operate after that's been done.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're right. I think almost the legal side and divvying things up and changing ownership is, while it can be complicated and there's still decisions around that, that is much more of the business end. And you're maybe, you know, thinking, okay, I'm going to give, you know, Nicole 20% and I'm going to give Justin 30%. And then, you know, cousin Susie's going to get the remainder. While that might make sense on paper from the numbers, it's how do you come to that decision? How do you communicate it? So I think that'd be great if you could kind of share. I'm just, you know, you gave a lot of different examples, but are you, and I think we'll kind of put this in the context of, I know your group has worked with, you know, many, many, many families, but if you can kind of maybe think of some of the ones that went well, how did you see it as a first step? Is it, if it's not professionally managed, you know, and it's just, you know, let's just say maybe it's the parents that are saying, we're getting ready to retire and we want to transition it down to the next generation. Is it mom and dad coming in with the kids and someone from your group and saying, hey, here's what we see or what we're thinking? Is it more of a group brainstorm?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And I will just add, I understand even though I'm sure, just like with our financial planning process, the process we follow is the same, but each client is unique.
Right.
And is different. And you, even if you have the same set of facts and circumstances, you have the human beings there,
right,
and how they're thinking could be different. So I'd love to hear kind of some of the ways you've seen it work well.
Yeah. Yeah. Our team, when we engage, typically the work itself really begins with some individual conversations with each member of the family. And typically, in addition to the children who will be inheriting the business or buying the business in some cases.
Okay.
We are also interested in, if they're married or have significant others, their perspective and expectations.
And that's whether they're involved or not in the business?
Yes, because they are still part of the family. And they are also parents of the next generation. And if the family's already starting to consider how we want to be good stewards of a business that will last for, you know, decades.
Right. For many generations.
The sooner that they start thinking about the next generation, some who may not even be born yet, the better off they are. So it's really getting individual perspectives from all of those people on what they expect, what they think life is going to be like, what place the business plays in their mind, in their life. Why do we want to be part of this family business? Why do we want to continue it? Why are we making this choice? Maybe I've got a little bit of, I wonder, should we be doing it this way? But let's get those conversations started individually. And then we would bring the group together to discuss all those different perspectives so that the family can work through and align on some of the key priorities and some of the common ground that they have. It's rarely 100%. Everyone says the exact same thing.
Right.
Right.
Not surprising.
If ever.
Yeah. If ever. I was I think that'd be a surprise if it was. And then you'd be like, I don't think you're being honest.
And it's completely normal. And the work really is to kind of understand each other. Where are we at? Oh, I hadn't thought about it that way, is sometimes what we hear. But now that you mention it, that would be a good thing for us to, you know, to discuss. We have families who view their businesses very differently. Some of them, and even within a group of owners, sometimes view the business differently. Some might see it as a lifestyle business, and the intention of it is for me to, you know, live a relatively lavish lifestyle. Others may see it as a way to contribute to the community that they grew up in, right? They're a staple in that community, for example, and they have, some of them, multi-generational employees that they support within that, wow, in that community. And that is one of their driving forces.
Yeah. And a big responsibility in itself.
Yes. Yes. Wow. And so it's really getting everybody on the same page and really solidifying some of those things, starting in some cases to define their values and the legacy that they're trying to create and things like that. And then you can start to get a little bit better fine-tuned as to, okay, so now how does the business need to operate and run in order to achieve that vision for the family? Do we need to really look hard at how can we be more profitable, for example, because some of the goals we have are requiring greater profitability, greater liquidity, for example. A lot of families will start thinking at some point about philanthropy or starting a foundation.
Right.
And, you know, and so they may be looking at the business to fund that, which is going to require cash, right?
So, yep. Yeah.
Maybe the business can support it now, maybe it can't, but that helps us start to come together and align and do great, great work.
And how, again, I understand it'll be individual, it'll depend on each individual situation. But is there maybe either like a range or average of how long this process takes from when you're having this initial conversation or doing the initial individual interviews that you referenced, bringing kind of the stakeholders together so that they can start to discuss vision, thoughts and ideas and what you were talking about? Are we aligned? Are we not? I guess I'll take a step back. I'm going to put a pin in my own question. Is after we've done that, I would assume right then you're starting to build out the actual business transition plan. So would that be the next phase?
It will depend on that alignment. And once you get the alignment, you can clarify the business plan. There may be other circumstances, however, that necessitate that business transition plan is done prior to all the alignment work, such as somebody is sick.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
Like that happens. There may be some legal matters that are not attended to. For example, they don't have they don't have any. I've seen that before. They don't have a will. They don't have a estate plan.
Right.
Those kinds of things are just not in place. So we might need to get that. And we wouldn't do the legal work, but we'd help the family get it kind of an initial idea of, all right, what do we bare bones need to have in place so that we can still maintain control. So sometimes you have to write maybe a version of the business plan or the transition plan, a version of that.
And okay.
Then do the work with the family around vision, values, and those kinds of things, and then update from there. And I would say most of these plans that we help families with are, you know, they're living documents. Like they ebb and flow and change. And one of the important things in the process too is to determine how and when do we make those changes? How do we stay in tight communication so that we can evolve the plan that we've created? It's not a set it and forget it, right?
No, that makes total sense. I mean, to some degree, it could almost become stale as soon as it's written, just because the business is going to continue to evolve, hopefully in a growing manner. As you reference, the family may continue to grow and evolve, and who's being involved with the business. So I agree. And I know, again, it's a lot of it. I'm just thinking like, oh, my God, this is like our process at Private Vista. Is we'll do a financial plan, and then, you know, we have to update it continually as well.
Right.
So I guess kind of you given some of the key points. I love how you are continually highlighting that it is not a one size fits all, because if you do have someone who is ill or maybe no longer be able to contribute or run the business as they were, then you're going to be on a tighter time clock. and you might need to just put some kind of belt and suspenders in place at least to make sure that there's some minimum safeguards, if you will, or minimum things that are going to happen. What about, I'd love, and I know our listeners would too, would you be willing to share an example of where you have had, and you can pick whether someone was, it was due to like a health issue or, you know, it was just more natural and you didn't have that constraint, but of how you have worked with a family and you've seen kind of a successful, you know, they created the business transition plan and then it was successfully like put into effect.
An example that comes to my mind goes something like literally the day after the family had put together some of those documents around, you know, who's going to be like emergency backup CEO type thing.
Okay.
Came to agreement on that. It's just as a small part of the broader business, but that leader actually got into an accident. I don't forget if it was a motorcycle or a car accident or something like that. And
the
next day was incapacitated, didn't pass, but was incapacitated.
Wow.
And they were ready.
Yeah.
They were ready to go. They had all the protocols in place. They had the plan in place. They could, the business anyways, could just go about really not skipping a beat, which was great because now you're dealing with this massive family issue. And what you don't want to do is deal with that and the business on top of it, trying to figure out, okay, who's going to step in and do this. And so they had just literally like nick of time gotten that work done.
That's incredible.
And, you know, it was one of the things that clearly we identified in our initial assessment with the family was that's a pretty big gap that they have because they don't have a plan in place to mitigate a risk like that. So that was a very fortuitous situation for them from a business perspective.
Right.
Luckily he was able to recover over time. Yeah, but for a short period of time, they could have been really, really scrambling.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, I'm sure you've seen when someone goes through, you know, something like that, if it's a near-death experience or you go through where you're incapacitated and unable to kind of, you know, be yourself for a period of time, sometimes even when people do heal or they come back, you know, maybe they have different priorities, you know, so I
sure.
don't know if this
sure.
person, right, came back and was like, I'm ready to get back in it, you know, full throttle or... You know,
right.
hey, I still want to be involved and it's really important to me, but I also, you know, want to spend more time with my family or.
Right. Yeah. So. That can certainly happen for sure. Yeah.
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 So that was one where you, like you said, it was fortuitous for the business. Of course, we're glad to hear the CEO recovered. What are some of the ones where you are having the harder conversations? And again, I know I see this too. And, you know, if there's more than one child or more than one family
yeah.
member who's involved, let me take that back. If there's more than one child or family member, and maybe not all of them are involved in the business, or not to the same degree, or they all are involved, but, you know, we all know, well, gosh, you know, Mary over there just kind of comes in and punches the clock, not really a value add, but you know, maybe Mary has different ideas about her contribution and how the transition
right.
plan will involve her.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've had these difficult conversations.
Sure, sure. Yeah, there's a, those are the ones that tend to stick out more in my mind is where, you know, there's some kind of unwinding of things that have kind of inadvertently taken hold. So,
right.
you know, there's a family that I recall with four siblings who were running the business together, and they had created a family constitution in the past. And actually, when we got involved, they had done this twice already.
Oh.
And the main point of contention was their next gen employment policy. So these were, you know, 20 somethings, early 30s, third generation members of the family, all the children of these four siblings. And there was a particular provision in their constitution that was of particular concern that you were not allowed to have your son or daughter work directly under you in the business.
Oh, okay.
And so when the first, one of my first conversations with one of the siblings, they started pointing fingers at their brother who had broken that policy. And then I come to find out that they were all breaking different parts of the Constitution and the policies, and they were pointing fingers at each other for what they were doing. And come to find out, they had basically inherited a Constitution that was primarily written for them, not by them. And so that was our work, is to say, hey, throw that away, start over from scratch, blank sheet of paper, and let's write this thing together so that you really believe in the rules that you're creating and that you've agreed on the rules. Because they were saying, well, I don't think that one's that important, so I'm not going to pay attention to that. But this one over here, I think that's really important, and my sister's not following it. So now I'm, you know, on her, because she's not following.
She's
that.
Breaking the rules. Yeah.
Yeah. So ultimately, creating that alignment, because they actually sat down together and they wrote this and they wrestled through these questions. You know, what are the benefits and the pros and cons and all that of these different things which we fought about before? And let's land in a spot. Yes, no, maybe, and here's what flavor of that we want to create that fits for us based on what we think is important and how we operate those kinds of things.
Interesting. So you've used the term constitution. Can you explain to our listeners what that means in the context of your work?
Yeah, it's really just an agreement of how we are going to work together. Sometimes it's what we believe in. Some of them can be very extensive. Include lots of different policies from, you know, employment to like next gen employment policies to compensation policies, you know, different aspects of like governance and directors who's allowed to serve on the board, those types of things. So some of them are 3 pages long, some are 30 pages long. It really depends on the family and what they want to put down on paper as to some of the agreements that they've made amongst each other about how they want to work and run their business together.
So this is this part of, or is this a separate document from like the, you know, the more official like transition plan, which might involve more of the lawyers and the accountants.
Yeah.
So this is okay.
Right. This would be separate.
Is it kind of like, I'm thinking, I don't know if you've ever lived in like a you know, condo or HOA, a community.
Sure.
So, right, you've got your bylaws, which are the legal, I always say the legal mumbo jumbo, but then you've got like the rules and regs, right? Can you have dogs in the backyard? What are the quiet hours? Things like that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
The Constitution can be, and typically is, more comprehensive than a set of bylaws.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Got it. Well, it sounds like I think one of the things where the value add is having an independent third party who has no history or skin in the game, you know, with the family or the business, that you're able to like facilitate the conversation, probably share, you know, share success stories like from, we've had this issue before where the family kind of got stuck. They got 3/4 of the way there. And then like that same issue. And here's how some of the things either they entertained or what they finally ended up implementing.
Right.
I think people really enjoy learning about shared experiences. And then it also could help them kind of start thinking about how could we apply this to our situation?
Yeah. And to me, the value of that outside perspective is maybe twofold. One is that most of these families are doing this for the first time. And even if they've gone through a transition in the past, things are very different now than they were the first time. So you can kind of say, you know, you're always doing this for the first time when you do the major transition.
Or they may want it to be, if they're second generation, they may want it to be different to go to the third generation, right?
Yeah, for sure. So. I have a family I spoke to recently that in the past, the way that it worked was the next generation would buy out the prior generation.
Okay.
Well, the business is been so successful in the last 20 years that the next generation almost literally can't afford to buy out the prior generation.
Okay.
And so now they're stuck with what, you know, how do we do this? And so we need to explore other options. What would be other options? But again, it gets back to what are people's expectations?
Right.
Mom and dad, what do you expect? How do you envision your retirement? What do you need to make that happen?
Exactly.
Right?
Yep. And what do you need to get out? Timing?
Yeah, maybe just not a pile of cash from a buyout isn't the only way for you to achieve those things, right?
So
let's try to get creative with what it could, what it could look like. So that's part of it. And plus you take the kids who have been working in the business for the last 20 years and help to increase the performance and the success, the value of the business. They're saying, well, great, I just drove up the value of this thing that now I've got to buy, right?
Now I've got, yeah, that exactly.
So it's working through those kinds of
competing
things.
Competing priorities.
Yeah. How do we do this in a way where, everybody feels really good and everybody thinks that they've won, as a part of this, and nobody feels they're getting taken advantage of, or it's not fair, or those kinds of things. So really trying to kind of help them through those kinds of situations. But the independent outside perspective can bring those examples of here's what other families have done in similar situations.
Right.
Here's what they thought through, how they made this decision, what they emphasized, prioritized, et cetera, as they did this, so that they can then have more information, which how would they have it? They've never done it before.
Exactly.
Right? And they're probably only going to hear little bits and high level from maybe their friends.
I was just going to say, they talk to other friends who are business owners.
But we can get much deeper around here's all the things that they really wrestled with and why they decided to go this way or that way. And, there was things they made trade-offs, right? They decided they were not going to do this so they could do that, and helping them to see that. So really working through that.
Yeah, I think it's so valuable. Yeah. So I feel like we have just scratched the surface of this conversation. It's very fascinating, but it's also very complex and there's many layers to it.
Sure.
Some of the kind of the key things that jumped out at me are, first of all, have the conversation. I know when I've been involved in like transitions and things like that, we'll put, a sudden health change kind of over to the side. But if you're not having some type of event that's driving it, start sooner than later, because it certainly does not sound like, hey, we're going to do a weekend retreat and have this all figured out. No. Right. So time is your friend.
Yes.
Have the conversation. And I'm not just saying this, listeners, because Justin's here as my guest today, but I do think I really see the value of an independent third party who's not aligned with anyone and really is just aligned with you, the family, having the conversation, making as many of the considerations as possible, and then coming out with your constitution and transition plan. So those are kind of some of the key things that bubbled up for me. Anything else you'd like to highlight or maybe bring up that we haven't had a chance to touch on yet, Justin?
I would say those are really the keys, in particular is the conversations and not thinking you're going to solve this over a weekend. And this is multiple conversations over sometimes a year or more. If the family's really large and there's a lot of things at play, this can take quite a bit. Sometimes it's a matter of trying to determine, how do I even think about this? What are some of the things I need to think about to be able to form an opinion so that when I have the conversation, I can weigh in on that too? So I'd say really prepare for that, right? And really think deep about what's important to you and how to communicate that with one another.
Yeah,
and be open-minded to really embrace what people are going to share, because they might come up with some stuff that will surprise you, and it really try to just take it on and listen and understand.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to add on to that too, about it's not just like one conversation or one weekend, and be open-minded, is as I've been in meetings and oftentimes have led family meetings where we're just kind of talking about, here's the parents' estate, here's the decisions they made, here's their values and things like that. Not everyone in the family is comfortable commenting, like sharing their thoughts or asking questions, right? With the whole group.
Right.
And it's not that they're trying to hide things or whatever, but maybe they're like, oh, I don't know if this is going to make me like come across in a bad light.
Right.
Right. Right? Do I seem greedy? Do I seem like, oh, Justin's getting everything or right? So yeah. I think that's why I like the idea of it's overtime and multiple meetings, because then the child or the next gen who, and it might be more than one, could then go talk to like their mom and dad or talk to the third party facilitator and at least say, hey, this came up for me and I just wasn't sure, like, how do I bring it to the table? Or I'm comfortable talking to mom and dad about it, but I'm not comfortable at doing it in front of all 20 people.
Right.
So I think that's also another thing about, again, doing this over time and then having that independent third party.
Right. Right. Yep. Absolutely. Agree.
So good. Well, Justin, thank you so much. This was a fantastic conversation. I know I myself already have like 25 more questions, so we may have to look at having you back on for part two. One of the questions I ask all of my guests is, if you could live anywhere in the world, no time constraints, no financial constraints, don't need to be, you know, close to a school district or things like that. Wow. Where would you live and why?
Oh boy. I have started to get an affinity for the mountains. And the question is west or east in my mind. And I would be stay in the US.
Okay.
I don't think I would move outside of the US. So probably either Utah or maybe Tennessee in the mountains. One of the two. So I'll flip a coin.
Both beautiful places.
Yeah.
Those are both great, Justin. I listen to this every podcast and hang on to all the answers. And I've come to the answer that I would give, which is I need four different houses.
Right.
Well, Bill, we're just going to run around and visit everyone.
Exactly.
They don't know that. That's why we're doing our list.
Hey, Justin, I have one really quick question, and it has to do with the issue of time. And this was a great conversation, but what if I own a business and let's say I know my kids, I already know my kids are not interested in taking over the business, so that I know that at some point I'm going to have to sell this business. I mean, is it as easy as I wake up one morning and I go, that's it. I'm done. I've had enough of this and I want to sell this. Or does it a little lengthier? It's more complex.
Yeah. But
what kind of time frame should people have in their mind in terms from the time they want to sell to the time they actually complete that sale?
Yeah. To maximize the value of it, Bill, you should be thinking at least three years, I would suggest. It does depend quite a bit on how the business is being run at that particular point. Mm-hmm. You know, we do run into a lot of businesses which are heavily reliant on the current leader or the current owner. And, you know, everybody knows, I think they know that doesn't necessarily create a lot of value in the business because it's dependent on that person. And if they're not going to be there, then obviously the value erodes. So that's a big, but I'd say 3 years is probably good as a starting point. If you have five, that would be better. And I would also challenge, Bill, just a little bit that assumption. If my kids don't want to work in the business specifically, I don't know if you said that exactly, but I've seen that a lot where the kids aren't interested in working in it. There is a solution there where the business can stay in the family without anybody working in it, right? Just because you don't work in it doesn't mean you can't own it.
Yeah.
So that's sometimes what we start to help families consider too. Is there a way for us to think about stewarding the business into the future? Again, thinking about the generation after that, we don't know what they're going to be interested in, where their passions are going to be. You might have the greatest CEO in the world that is sitting there that's 6 years old at the time, and you don't know, right? And they could let's think about it. I'm not saying that's what we would suggest you do, but let's think about that as an option.
That's interesting.
As well, yeah,
that's good. That's good. Because I know from the interviews I've done in the past and reporting I've done in the past that it's unusual for businesses to last past maybe the third generation. So when you get into the fourth and fifth generation, you are looking at very, very rare businesses. So, no, this is a great conversation, and Nicole, do we know where to how to get a hold of Justin if we're interested in maybe following up with him on any other anything he had to say today?
Yeah, absolutely. Justin, would you like to share any contact information?
Sure. You can email me at jalbertson@thefbcg.com. So thefbcg.com. That's probably the best way. And I'll give you my phone number as well. You can give me a call, 630-209-6527. And prior to that, if you want to hop on our website, www.thefbcg.com, we've got tons of great material there, articles, books, webinars. Shameless plug for a webinar we have coming up actually on family constitutions in a couple of weeks. So you can check that out as well.
Perfect. Thank you. And we'll have all his contact information in the show notes as well for our listeners.
We will. And we'll have all of Nicole's in there as well. But Nicole, if you want to give everybody just a real quick promotion in terms of who to reach out to or how to reach out to you.
I would say the best way to reach out to myself or any of my colleagues would be through our website at myprivatevista.com. On our homepage, we have a contact us button, so you can complete your information, refer to this episode, and then either myself or one of my wonderful colleagues will reach out. If you prefer to phone, you can call us at 312-831-4370, and our receptionist can get you in touch again, either with me or one of my colleagues.
Excellent. And one of the things you can do, listeners, if you're listening to this and you're not a subscriber, is just hit the follow button. Easy, simple. And then the next time Nicole puts out a new episode of this podcast, you'll be notified and you can give it a listen. So do that right away, please. And also, if you like the podcast, tell people about it. Word of mouth promotion is really deeply appreciated, and we would thank you. We also thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast today. On behalf of Nicole and everybody at My Private Vista, I'm Bill Tucker, thanking you for taking the time today, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Dollars and Cents, Creating Your Fulfilled Life with Nicole Romito, sponsored by Private Vista. Visit our website at www.myprivatevista.com or give us a call at 312-831-4370. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Private Vista is a group comprised of investment professionals registered with Hightower Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Advisory services are offered through Hightower Advisors, LLC. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities. No investment process is free of risk, and there is no guarantee that the investment process or the investment opportunities referenced herein will be profitable. Past performance is neither indicative nor a guarantee of future results. The investment opportunities referenced herein may not be suitable for all investors. All data or other information referenced herein is from sources believed to be reliable. Any opinions, news, research, analyses, prices, or other data or information contained in this presentation is provided as general market commentary and does not constitute investment advice. Private Vista and Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy or completeness of the information or for statements or errors or omissions, or results obtained from the use of this information. Private Vista and Hightower Advisors, LLC assume no liability for action made or taken in reliance on or relating in any way to this information. The information is provided as of the date referenced. Such data and other information are subject to changes without notice. This was created for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed herein are solely those of the authors and do not represent those of Hightower Advisors, LLC, or any of its affiliates.